So welcome everybody to our class on the wand. This class, as Walt will tell you a little bit later, is not about a particular card, but we're going to be focusing on the symbol of the wand. And as with all our classes, we begin with a meditation. And that meditation is a way of helping us connect the energy among the group of us and get us all on the same wavelength, which is also very appropriate for studying the energy of the wand. So I'd like you to all just close your eyes and take a nice, comfortable position. Rest your feet flat on the floor and try to get your posture nice and tall, but flexible, just like a wand. It's straight but supple. And let your breath come in nice, easy rhythms. And take a nice, really deep inhalation and hold it for a moment. And as you hold it, feel the energy build up within you and then let it go. And one more time. Inhale through your nose, hold it, and one more time hold it, and then let it out, exhale through your mouth. And just relax and let your breathing return to normal. In a moment, I'm going to ring the bell. And I'd like the sound of that vibration to vibrate within you. And let that sound carry you to a deeper state of relaxation. And then just relax there, empty your mind, breathe and relax until you hear the sound of the tone again, at which point it will be time to return. So just breathe easily in and out, in and out. Let that sound bring you back to this time and place. Feel the seat beneath you, the floor beneath your feet. And slowly open your eyes. And welcome back.
Well, well. Hi, everybody.
I just wanted to mention, I used a long wand, wooden wand, to make that sound, too.
A wooden wand and a bowl. What a perfect combination. Anyway, I'm glad, really glad that you could all be here tonight. It's so wonderful to have you here. I'm so look forward to these evenings. How many of you have your decks handy?
I do.
Oh, well, I gather that you all... Do you all have your decks handy, or are there some of you who don't? Is there anybody who doesn't have a deck?
I don't have the weight deck.
You have some deck?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now that we know that, put them away. You won't need them. You won't need them tonight, because we're not going to be studying a card. There's nowhere in the deck that you will find the wand. There's no card in the deck called the wand. There's no way to look at it. We have approximations in various, you know, various cards of the suit of wands, but no actual card of the wand. There are, as you know, 14 separate cards in a suit. The suit of wands has 14 cards, like all of them do, 10 numbers and 4 court cards. But with all of that, there's only one wand between them. Are you aware of that? There's only one wand in the deck. All the others are perspectives from which to view it. Each one of the 10 numbers and each one of the 4 court cards is a different perspective from which to view the one wand that there is. Do you find that an interesting idea? Has it ever occurred to you before? Does it make any difference? Anybody can jump in here. I hear silence, which usually means that there is either there's like either incomprehension or something else. I'm not sure what. Do you know what I mean by what I said just said?
Anybody? That there's an archetypical wand and all others relate to it. They're different aspects of the same energy.
That's right. They're different aspects of the same energy, and the wand is an energy, and there is no card that is a wand. So that means that what we're stuck with is an idea. The wand is actually a pure abstract, as are all the other suit symbols. And we're not going to be talking about the suit at all. That comes at a later time. We're not going to be talking about the ace, although oftentimes when you talk about the suit symbol, you refer to the ace because it's the place where the single picture that represents the suit can be seen most clearly, but here we're not even going to do that. What we're going to do, what we're going to be talking tonight about, is just the simple abstract, the idea by itself. And together we're going to kind of hunt it down. We're going to kind of try and get a picture of a unicorn, something that's very elusive, very difficult to grasp. And this class is meant to make us better readers. It's not just abstract stuff. And even though we're going to be dealing with an abstract, it's really intended to help you to do a better technical job, to be stronger when you sit in front of a client. And since we're dealing with an abstract, you could very well ask, well, so how am I going to use this stuff in a reading? Anybody have that thought running through their head, or am I all by myself in this? No? That's very funny. Okay, not a single soul here. We're all philosophers here. Not a single reader am in the group. Well, anyway, the symbol of a suit, the symbol, that just that idea, that abstract idea, is the essence of a suit. It's the heart of it. And every time a card of that suit turns up, it's the suit, no, I mean not the suit, the symbol rather, the symbol that gives the card of the suit its meaning. If there were not an abstract center, an abstract core, the card would essentially mean nothing at all. And it's that meaning that we use to apply to any given situation that comes up. So knowing the issues that are contained in the suit symbol in the long run will make you a much stronger and much better reader, and you'll be able to apply the principles of that abstract idea in very concrete situations. But the problem with that is, and we're going to talk about it, but I don't know everything there is to know about this. Neither does anybody else. There, to the best of my knowledge, there is no one on the face of the earth who knows all there is to know about the wand. In fact, none of us can have any more than a small piece of it. So what we're going to do between us tonight is we're going to chase it down. We're going to hunt it. And we're going to try and give this elusive creature some shape and some depth.
We're going to chase it with a stick?
We're going to chase it with a stick, right. No, we're going to chase it with... What was it? Does anybody remember the hunting of the snark, Lewis Carroll's thing? Chase it with smiles and soap. That's what it
is. Ooh, I like
that. So we're going to chase it with smiles and soap, and we're going to try to make this idea a really light and rich and delicious idea. And that's what we're going to try and do tonight. So, Ruth Ann, you want to get us started?
Yep. Okay, I'd like you to all take out a piece of paper.
That I hope you all have, paper and pen?
Yes.
Good.
Okay. Yeah. And at the and hold it portrait, landscape?
Portrait style,
like,
yeah.
You know, up the long way, vertically. in front of you. Thank you. And at the very bottom, write the words, the wand. And then once you've done that, I'd like you to write, to draw, actually, a very long vertical line right down the center of the page. Start at the top and go all the way down to where it says the wand. Sort of like dividing the page in half. And that is going to be our wand, our stick. But if you look at the wands in the tarot cards, especially in the weight deck, you'll notice they have little buds and sometimes leaves coming off of them. So we're going to draw little diagonal lines, sort of alternating from side to side, going down. And let's do, I guess, about a dozen of them. So you have like one the left, and then a little further down, draw one on the right, then one on the left, and alternate them like that, left, right, so they look like little branches or leaves coming off the wand.
How many of them are there supposed to be?
I think 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I have 12, but however, you know, whatever.
12 is good.
12 is good. Okay, everybody have that done? Shouldn't take too long. Okay, good. And now what I'd like you all to do is think of one word that you would associate with the idea of the wand and write it at the end of one of those little twigs. Any one you like. And let's take about 30 seconds to do that.
And this can be about anything that you know about the wand, any of its functions, its shape, anything at all that is connected with the wand in your mind, any knowledge you had previously, any ideas or thoughts.
Personal associations. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, book meanings necessarily.
In fact, better if they're not.
Right. And just write it down next to the line. You should do this too.
That's right. I should do it too, shouldn't I? Here I am sitting back as though...
Yeah, you can
you
use
know,
the
I'm, yeah.
back of your attendance sheet.
Okay, that's good. I'm the one person here without paper. So.
Oh, you have
Well, I have actually have a pad, but it's not really available, so... All right. I'll do it. I'll be good.
Okay, and in a minute, what we're going to do is we're going to go around and share what we've written. And as you hear somebody mention a word... pick another little twig and write that word at the end of it.
Yeah, so when we're all done...
we'll have a nice collection. And the words sort of make the leaves. Okay? I think we've all done now. Great. So, who would like to start?
We're going to go around and everybody's going to tell us what they've written. And remember that as each person speaks... write down what they said against one twig. By the way, if somebody says something that you have already written, that you wrote, if somebody repeats what you've written, pick another one. Pick
right.
something different.
So, Debbie, what do you have?
Magical.
Great.
Magical. Okay, everybody find a little twig and write the word magical. With a K or without?
With a K.
Okay. Makes a difference. Great. So should we talk about that now, or should
no,
we just
no,
go around and do all
make,
the words?
Let's make sure that we have everybody down.
Oh, okay. Abby?
Spinal cord.
Spinal cord. Great.
Cool. Sherazad?
Phallic.
Whoa, okay. One of the interesting things about this is it becomes very revealing, isn't it?
Well, good for you.
Good for you.
Anne-Marie?
Well... it's almost the same as the first one, but I wrote magic rather than magical.
Okay, good.
All right.
We'll take that. With a K?
I kept changing my mind, so I left it without the K.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that makes a difference.
That makes
sense. But it actually is both to me, but since I could only leave one word.
Right, okay.
Well, that makes it very different from the other thing, so let's leave it without the K then. Great. Don?
I wrote energy.
Energy. Good.
And Kelly?
Growth.
Growth. Good.
Peggy?
Life force.
Life force. Okay.
Life force. I wrote music.
Music, great.
Oh, cool.
Let's see.
Let's see, Peggy?
Are you there?
Said life force.
Oh, yeah,
you just
I'm
did.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I got, like, got lost here. Donna.
I thought maybe there was something to Peggy.
Right.
Yeah. Donna?
Passion.
Passion.
Ooh.
Excellent.
Ooh.
Okay.
Judy.
That was mine.
Better
well,
pick another one.
Well, you want us to skip you while you think of the next one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Gene?
I wrote masculine energy.
Great, okay.
Walt?
And I wrote burning.
Okay, Judy, the moment of truth.
Well, I'll have to say sexual.
Great.
Okey-doke.
Okay. What I would like to do, something that I didn't plan on doing, but I want to do this anyway. It's really funny, the way I drew my tree. It actually, really, by God, looks like a tree.
Yes,
looks like
doesn't
a,
it?
Looks like, a twig. Looks like a wand, indeed. Do me a favor. Everybody, what I'd like you to do now is go back and add, I want you to add an additional word. I want everybody to do one more word. Only this time, I want you to give me one idea, one kind of wand. There's all different sorts of wands out there. And I want to know, I want you to give me the name each of you give me the name of a kind of a wand. So just write one word and go ahead and do that. And you can do it again next to any twig that you like.
Oh, or write it under the words of wand at the bottom.
No, but I want it.
I want it on here.
I want everybody to see that.
Well, how about the top part there? Because at the very top won't have.
No,
anything.
But the thing is, if there's 12 of us doing this or something, and everybody's got a word, I want everybody to write everybody's word down.
I
want to repeat this process. Except that I want everybody to name a kind of wand.
Oh, so like next to one of the words?
Yeah.
Then? Mm-hmm. So write it next to your word, I guess.
Okay, that sounds good.
Why do I think that was Scheherazade?
Okay.
So that makes it leafier then, I
think. That's right, it makes it leafier.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, you go through.
Okay, so I'll just kind of go through the list of people, and we'll kind of work our way backwards here. Gene, what was your wand?
Well, what was your
a magical wand?
A magic wand.
What
okay.
was your word? So we can put the words the wand.
My word was masculine energy.
Okay,
and this is a magic wand.
Magic wand.
Okay. And Judy.
Well, mine was sexual, and I said penis.
Good for you. Okay. Good. And let me see, Donna?
I really haven't made the leap on this one, actually.
Okay.
And so,
what you can do is, as you listen to others say whatever it is that they're going to say, maybe something will occur to you.
Okay.
And you just, well, I'll come back to you in a little bit. Peggy?
Willow wand.
Willow, great.
What was your first word?
Life force.
Life force.
Willow wand. Okay, and then we go to Don.
My first word was energy,
mm-hmm.
and the type of wand I thought of was a paintbrush.
Great.
Yay.
Excellent.
Well, I'll go next because mine sort of goes with that.
Right.
Mine was music, and I put baton.
Great. Okay, and did I get to you, Kelly?
No, not yet.
I did pen.
You did what, pen? Great, okay,
and
so there we go. Pen, paintbrush, and baton.
And
excellent.
What was your first word?
Grove.
Oh, okay.
Right. And then, let me see, Anne-Marie?
Wand of a manifestation.
Well, no, but we need the name of a wand.
The name of a wand.
A description, a name for some kind of thing that's wand-like.
Oh, I was thinking of a wand that was used for manifestation.
Well, but what would that be?
How about a crystal wand?
A crystal wand, okay.
What was your word?
Magic.
I'm sorry, magic.
Okay. Scheherazade?
Laser pointer.
Laser pointer, great.
And what was your word?
Phallic.
It's interesting. What we have going here is a class that has a combination of art, philosophy, and psychology. Okay.
Okay, Abby, what did you have?
I had laser, but I have to quickly think of something else.
Right. Okay.
I don't know.
Take your time. We'll come back to you.
Yeah.
All right.
Debbie.
I did magical wand.
Right, I know you did, but now you have to come up with something else. You have to come up with the name of an actual instrument.
Oh,
something.
Okay, all right. All right, I'm a little slow here. Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, take your time. I'll come back to you. We'll go back down to the bottom of the list. Oh, I should give you mine.
What do you have?
And I have rocket.
And his was burning.
Burning, right. Okay, so who did I... Oh, Judy.
Mine was...
Oh, you did yours.
Who
did I miss?
Passion.
Passion was Kelly, right?
No, that was mine.
Oh, okay. Donna, that's right.
Have you thought of anything yet?
I this is Abby. I can say pen.
Where are you? Which word was yours?
Spinal cord.
Oh, right. Spinal cord. I missed...
And so what did you pick?
Pen.
Pen.
Well, we have pen on growth.
We already had a pen.
Right.
We're out of stuff, guys. I don't know.
Okay, so keep thinking. Keep thinking. Come on. Let me see. Who are we missing here?
Then.
All right. Let's see.
Well, you can have a fountain pen. I mean, there's, a quill pen.
Or a quill.
Quill pen.
Okay, a quill. Great.
Quill. Okay.
What's that under?
Spinal cord.
Spinal cord. And Debbie?
Well, rifle.
Good for you. Good for you. Absolutely. Okay. And
so we need one more for passion.
Donna, can you think?
I'm really stumped on this.
All right. Well, anybody have a suggestion? Something we haven't said before.
Well, spinal, when I saw spinal cord, I actually thought of a scalpel.
A scalpel?
Oh,
fabulous.
All
right,
so we'll put scalpel next to passion.
Good.
Not that they're really cold, but
boy,
that's okay.
What an amazing tree we've created. I don't know, does this look interesting to you guys? I mean, to me, it's an amazing creation. I don't know, maybe I'm just a natural-born artist here. I can't, all I can draw is stick figures, but that I can do well.
How about a match?
A match?
Oh,
good. All right.
Yeah.
We don't have any new places
well,
to put
that.
Well,
under the wand.
Put it
match.
At the bottom. Okay.
Match.
Okay. So the reason for doing this, is that each one of these things has a place in you where the wand is. There is a place in everybody. As you all know, for every one of the suit symbols, each one of the suit symbols represents a kind of approach to a portion of life. And if tarot is worth anything at all, every single one of these major forms can be found inside yourself. And so if I say to you, well, what does a wand suggest to you? And you give me the words that you gave me. In the place that the wand would occupy in you, those things can be found. The words that you suggested can be found. If you can, is there anybody here who, when looking at the words that other people suggested, is there anybody here who can find any one of the words on the tree and say, no, I don't think that really belongs with the wand? Anybody?
Not me.
Okay.
Well,
I'm
not so sure really if rifle does, but...
Why not? Why would you, you said it in the first place, right?
I did. That's
okay,
true.
So now, if you said it, then it came up for you in association, and you may yourself not know why you said it. And we're going to explore. The interesting thing about this is that each one of these things that we said is in itself a symbol. It's not just an object. It's a symbol of a force. It's a symbol of a whole quarter of the universe. You realize that the wand is one quarter of the entire knowable universe. It's one of the four suits, and those four suits together comprise everything that you can know about this universe. And so these things are your understanding of that quarter, and they're associated with that quarter, and they're connected, and they are filled with the energy of that quarter. So they are truly important things. They're not just things out of a magazine or implements you have in your closet. They're symbols for you. And if you can recognize these things in whatever the other people said and wrote, then you can find resonances of those things too, and each one of the things on this piece of paper then becomes a symbol of the wand. We still don't know what the wand is, do we?
No.
We have given it a little odd kind of diaphanous cloudy, I don't know, gauzy sort of billowing shape, but no definition, nothing hard and fast. So what I want to do is take a look at this a little bit and explore with you what these things are about. So I'm going to pick a volunteer. Let's see, who should I pick? That's one of my favorite things, is picking volunteers. All right, I'm going to pick, let's see, I'm going to start with Jean. We'll start with, that's an interesting thing. Jean, what I would like you to do is to approach this tree and all of its branches. I want you to find a single word that intrigues you, that you're not quite sure what it's about or why it's there, and tell us what that is.
Paintbrush.
Very interesting. Whose version of things is paintbrush?
That was my word.
That was Don's. Okay. So Don knows what he meant, probably. But the interesting thing is, Gene, when you look at it, do you have any idea what a paintbrush would have to do with the wand? Does anything come to mind at all?
Let's see. A wand is regenerative.
Okay. In what way would a paintbrush be?
Painting over.
Okay. That's a possibility. So it's overpainting. Just at it. Now I'm not going to ask Don, because I'll ask Don last what he had in mind, and go around and ask you guys. Actually, I'll throw it open to discussion. Who has an idea? Who give me some more ideas of why a paintbrush is connected with a wand? Anybody?
Creativity.
Why is creativity connected with a wand? Why? And well, creativity is connected with a paintbrush, and I'm assuming by paintbrush you don't mean the house painter's paintbrush.
Right.
Okay.
That's what I read.
Ah, so Gene was reading the house painter's paintbrush.
Right.
And
rather
you're,
than the artist's brush.
Right. Okay. So we're talking about the artist's brush. That's the first thing. Why would a paintbrush be wand-like?
It's an extension of your hand.
What?
It's an extension of your hand.
An extension of your hand. Look at that. My God, it only you know how they say that everybody in the world is only separated by maybe 6 degrees of separation or something? Well, here we arrived at a core truth about the wand in like two jumps. Mm-hmm. It is an extension of the hand. In what way is the hand connected with the wand? Think about that for a second.
Into
manifesting. How does a hand manifest?
It directs it.
Absolutely. It directs. It makes. It transmits. What is it? If the hand makes things, transmits things, creates things, how does it do that? With what?
Well, it can shape things with the fingers.
What's behind the shaping? What's behind the transmission? What's behind the creativity? What makes it happen?
Electricity?
The energy.
The energy. What kind of energy are we talking about? There's an energy behind the hand. The hand is an expression of some kind of energy. What kind?
Kinetic energy.
Could be. Well, that would be a mechanical sort of thing. Nothing that knows itself. I mean, kinetic energy can be found in a comet or in a flower. So, what have we got that would make it? Where does
directed
it come from? This
energy.
Directed. Yeah. Does anybody have any idea what in us would direct energy?
The will.
The will. No? Think of it. There is nothing, there is no thing that you do that doesn't have at its root the will to do it. Unless you're unconscious and somebody stuck electrodes on you, and you know, like those paddles that they do when they want to jumpstart your heart, and they hit you with those things and your body jumps. Of course, your brain hasn't got anything to do with that, and you yourself are exercising no will. But in everything else, if you're conscious, whether you run away because you're afraid, or run towards something because you desire it, or grab for something because you want it, or throw it because you don't want it, or shape, or form, or cut, or slash, or write, or direct, or whatever it is that you do with your hand, it's because you want to do it. One way or another, there's something in you that wills you to do it. And the hand is an extension of the will. And whatever you hold in your hand that can point or direct that energy is an extension of that. And the wand is a symbol of the extension of the will. Isn't that an interesting combination of things? It just comes out of a paintbrush. If I were to take, does anybody, by the way, have anything that do they, does anybody disagree with any of that, by the way? I don't pretend to be, to know everything here, and I may be totally wrong. Sometimes my enthusiasms get in the way. Does anybody have any reason to demur to any of that? Okay. Then look at the other things that are listed as types of wand. Yeah.
Actually, I have something else to add about the paintbrush. Paintbrushes, especially artist brushes, are usually made of wood.
Oh, that's true, too.
And Don, did you have anything else in mind?
I think I was thinking primarily of an artist paintbrush.
Right.
And just how an artist brings sort of their inner vision into manifestation in a way where it can be seen and, to a certain extent, felt. But what was interesting was when Jean brought up the thing about a house paintbrush,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not so sure that that also couldn't be used to some extent to help achieve someone's vision either. So I'm not sure that it wouldn't necessarily serve as an appropriate symbol as an artist paintbrush.
Absolutely does. It was just that with an artist paintbrush, it was easier to get at the root of where I wanted to go. Of course, I had an idea where I wanted to go, but the paintbrush of the house painter is every bit as much a symbol of what we're talking about, because it is also a symbol of the will
and an extension of the hand
and a symbol of intention. The main thing about this is that it's a symbol of intent. You intend to do something. When there is no intent, there is no real will. Even if you held something like a paintbrush in your hand, if whatever happened as a result of holding that in your hand came not from any intention of yours, but by some accident, you were holding it in your hand and somebody tickled you, and you turned around quickly and made a splash of paint on the wall, that splash of paint would probably not be an expression of will.
Unless you're Jackson Pollock.
Well, Jackson Pollock, however, did that intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
It was no accident. So one of the things that goes on here is that whatever happens as a result of the wand, by wielding the wand, you eliminate the whole idea of accident. There is no accident if you're using a wand.
Isn't the wand then an extension of intention?
Absolutely. So intention and will are sort of similar terms. And when you're looking at cards in a reading that come up that are wands cards, one of the major considerations in wands is always a question of will and intent. Always a question of direction and skill and the direction and funneling or channeling of energy. Absolutely. It can never be otherwise. I don't care which one of the cards of wands you're looking at. I don't care what this question is in the reading. The issue of intention will come up. So that's one thing. Now, if that's true, Devi, take a look at your rifle again,
mm-hmm.
and tell me that you don't see that there.
Oh, I see that there, yeah. Intention.
Absolutely.
And will.
And is not the bullet fired from a rifle an absolutely overwhelmingly intense expression of intention and will?
It doesn't necessarily have to be negative.
No, but negative and positive are judgments that we level at things.
Right.
They're not. The wand really doesn't make those judgments. That's not part of it. By the way, tarot in general does not make judgments. This whole idea of positive and negative is something, I think, that is a result of conditioned reflex and training, and not really in the cards. Although there, I know people have a tendency to disagree with me a bit sometimes.
If you look at the wand as an expression of energy, then that firing the bullet out of the rifle is a tremendous release of energy. I mean, there's sound, there's heat, there's forward movement, there's friction, there's explosion, all kinds of things that makes it very, very wand energy-like.
If we take, let's go from the, I don't know if you guys did the same thing I did. When we did the first round of associations, I wrote the words that came out of that right next to the lines that were the twigs. And then when we did the second round, where we talked about the instruments, I wrote them sort of outside of that, towards the edges of the paper. So there is an inside row and an outside row of leads, so to speak, to these twigs. And we were dealing with the outside row, the shapes of the wands, and the whole idea of intention and stuff. And we'll come back to that in a minute. But if you take the idea of intention and of direction and will and all those things, and apply it to some of the inner forms. Let me see. Oh God, who should I pick here? Peggy, pick an inner form. One of the first things that we did. Something that intrigues you and that you're not sure of, or that really needs to be talked about.
Spinal cord.
Spinal cord. Now, take any one of the outer forms and tell me how it connects with the spinal cord and how it connects with the idea of energy. In what way is the spinal cord an expression of what we were talking about? Tell
it's
me. How
it's a transition of neural energy. It's a way of transmitting the will from the mind to the hand.
Absolutely. Almost all the nerves of the body. I mean, I guess the whole idea of the central nervous system is called central because it runs right down the spine, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that anything that the body does could be done without that. That's one thing. Can anybody tell me any other ways in which a spinal cord in any way resembles or expresses conceptions of the wand?
Sort of looks like a figure we drew.
Looks like
what
a what?
What about kundalini energy?
Oh, absolutely. Well, tell me about that. Describe it a little.
What kundalini energy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the rising of energy from the base to the head.
And usually the kundalini is seen as a serpent, is it not? And if it's true that the spinal cord is a true expression of the energy or the idea of wand, and the wand is an expression of energy and will, and the kundalini is an aspect of the qualities of energy and will and spirit that rise up the spinal cord, and the kundalini is a serpent, then is there not in some way a connection between the serpent and the wand?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Isn't that an interesting thought?
And in fact, the first thing that comes to mind is the caduceus.
Absolutely, of course.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you look at the Bible, when Moses went back into Egypt, he had a serpent that turned to a wand.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And back again.
Right.
And when Eve was standing next to that tree, it was the serpent that came up the tree or down the tree or near the tree or something like that. The serpent in the tree and the whole idea of knowledge and the whole idea of, well, do it. Basically what the serpent was telling her was, don't just stand there, eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do something, don't just talk. And thereby hangs the entire tale of humanity.
Another thing that I saw in the spinal cord was when a child is growing, that's one of the first thing that develops.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the brain and the spinal cord develop before everything else. And actually, I believe that the sperm actually turns into that.
Uh-huh, that I don't know. Let me ask you this, talking more about the spinal cord and the idea that it's the first thing or a major thing that that turns us into humanity. It's the ability, is it not, to stand upright?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not only does it give us the ability to stand upright, of course, it also gives us the ability to bend and do all the other movements that we do, but the primary thing that makes us who we and what we are is our upright stature. And it's an interesting idea that part of the aspect of wands, and really intense symbol of wands, is uprightness. And uprightness has often, it's connected with virtue, is it not? Can you see in any way a connection between the will, energy, direction, intention, fire, spirituality, the serpent and the spine, and the idea of virtue? I mean, this is a pretty mighty interconnected net of thoughts and ideas. Uprightness. Think of a tree. One of the, maybe the source of all wands. I mean, if a wand is basically wood, and all wood comes from trees, basically, the whole idea of a tree is that it's upright. It's the very nature of a wand to be upright, and also to be flexible, which the spine is. Flexibility and uprightness, what a combination. And isn't the flame, by the way, hold on 1 second, guys. So anyway, so where were we? We were talking about spinal cords and uprightness and
virtue.
The virtue and the combination of flexibility and straightness that are connected with the wand. I'm going to go in this particular case and throw it out to you guys what is going on here. What is involved in burning? I had picked burning as a word to connect with the wand. Why that? Tell me what I was thinking.
It's a transforming.
About. Transforming. Okay. Well, how so? How does burning transform?
It burns one. It just transforms something from, you know, one particular thing, to, like a paper, to an ash.
Absolutely. First of all, burning releases energy by its nature, and second of all, it transforms from one state to another. Absolutely. There are so many ways in which fire transforms the state of a thing. We use fire burning to cook. Raw food becomes edible food. We use burning to make metals. Take stuff out of the earth, put it in a pot, burn it and purify it, and out comes something that makes an automobile or a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Burning actually is probably the primary form of transmutation and transformation that humankind has ever known. And the wand, why is the wand connected with burning?
Because it's wood.
And? Well, wood burns, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Does anything burn that isn't wood?
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, so that's not the only thing that burns. So the fact that it burns by itself doesn't necessarily make it connected with wands.
Well, except that in tarot, the wand is the only one of the suits, symbols, that does burn.
Well, that's true. That's true. But what I was getting at was something a little different. How, if you can think for a moment, just imagine. Did anybody here see the movie Castaways recently?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody else?
Nope.
Okay. Well, there's this movie Castaway. A guy's basically thrown on his own onto not a desert island, but a tropical island somewhere in the Pacific. And he has to somehow survive. And part of the trick, part of the job of survival is the creation of fire. I mean, he doesn't have any. He has no matches. He has no way to make fire, and yet it's essential for him, and he tries. And how would you imagine that he succeeded?
Rubbing twigs together.
Basically, that's it. Hmm. When human beings first got down out of the trees and they stopped being animals, the first tool, the very first thing that they did, the first power of the universe that they harnessed for themselves was fire. And until they learned to rub two sticks together, the only fire they had was what came from heaven in the form of volcanoes or lightning storms or stuff like that. They had to wait for the gods to give it to them. But as soon as they learned to rub two sticks together, they basically came into ownership of the universe. And the wand is that thing. The wand is the power. It contains fire within it. Not only does it burn, but it actually produces fire. It contains it. Do you have any idea what kind of power you're talking about there? I mean, just think about it for a second. Think back to the beginning and look at the path that humanity has traveled.
Unless it's controlled, it's very destructive.
Absolutely. I mean, everything, every force in the universe has that quality. It can either be useful or dangerous. It can either be controlled or not controlled. But the thing, the power of it is beyond dispute. It's absolutely fabulous power. It's probably the essence of all power. In fact, if fire is a symbol for energy, just a general symbol for energy, by harnessing fire, by the means of rubbing sticks together, humanity came into its power. And here we are. Imagine to yourself for the moment that you did not have available to you in any way, shape, or form the ability to make fire. You could not light a fire in any way, nor could anybody around you. If the ability to produce fire were to drive out from the world, everything else in the world stayed the same, but somehow or other, for some reason or other, it was not possible anymore to create a fire, what would happen?
No heat, no light.
No light, no heat, no transformation, no power, no tools, no controllable energy, except the power of your own body, which is not very much in the face of the universe. No leverage. No ability to make the world work for you.
Just lots of metals.
No metals. No metals. And with that, all the things come from metal. So you're looking at the primal power in the universe here, the absolutely primal power. Let me give you another thing. We've talked about a lot of tools and things. Think of a paintbrush, and then let me see. I'll give you a riddle. Anne-Marie, how is, let me see, a paintbrush, a baton, and a pen similar?
They're all used to express creativity, or they all can be.
Okay, that's true. How are they alike physically? In what way are they similar as physical things?
They all could be made of wood.
Yes, but even if they weren't?
Oh, well, they're all used as an extension of the hand, but they're all a straight line.
That's
thing.
Right. They're all straight line things. Let's talk about that for a minute. Anybody have any idea what the philosophical implications?